This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. As I knock stuff off, thank you so much for being here. It is Fun Drive Sunday, and you know what that means. That means we do cool stuff. It also means that my nephew, Ren, is with me.
Hello.
You got more than just hello, please.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How was your drive here?
Good.
Good?
Good.
Good.
Rainy.
Yeah, rainy. That's always a drag. But rainy, that means that people are out there, they're listening, they're at home. Thank you so much. We hope that you'll take the opportunity to call up and make your pledge to WNRN during Fun Drive Sunday, because that's what it's all about. Our guests today, Kathy Kildea, Arthur Rashap.
Yes.
Rashap. Proper pronunciation of the name is important.
It's key.
So proper pronunciation, Arthur. What's the proper pronunciation of your last name?
Rashap.
And we're going to talk today about the Charlottesville Time Bank. I read about this in the newspaper a couple months ago, and I thought, oh, that'll be cool for Ren and I to talk about. And so Kathy and Arthur are with us today to talk about the Charlottesville Time Bank. And for many people, it's like, what the heck is that? I need a little more information. So, Ren, start us off.
How did you come up with this idea, and are there other communities that do this program?
Yeah, well, actually, we didn't come up with the idea, but when we heard about it, we thought that was a great thing for Charlottesville to have in place as a time bank. Time banks informally have been in existence for centuries because it's kind of a way for neighbors to help neighbors out doing kind of ordinary things that they might need help with. But the time banks movement in this country was started about 35-ish years ago by Dr. Edgar Kahn. And we are one of approximately 300 time banks across the country that are currently operating.
Now, I need a little more information on that. So I get the fact that the time bank, that there are several hundred of them throughout the country, and you share things that are important to one another. But when I read about it, when I read about the time bank, and you talk about one person doing something that can help another person, I went to bartering.
Right.
But it's not bartering.
It's not a barter in the true sense of the word. And a barter is where two people agree between each other what's an equitable trade. So we would have to come up with what was fair between the two of us. In time banking, it's a group of people who agree to exchange time credits for services amongst each other. So instead of purchasing them services with money, we're buying them with time. And when I perform a service for somebody, I earn time. When I purchase a service, I buy it with time dollars that I have in my account.
Yeah, and I look at it as a back to the future. If you think of the way people used to live, there was multi-generations in a house or in very small communities. And people just, if you needed something, you got it. And if you could provide something, you did it. And in today's world, where families disperse and go all kinds of ways, new community kinds of things grow up, and this is one of them. It's interesting for me that Edgar Kahn, who founded this thing, is the son of my favorite law professor way back when. And I looked at this when I was trying to create a new community about 15 years ago in central New York, and said, what would be a good way for people to relate to each other? And if I need something, I could ask for it and hopefully get it. And if I had something to contribute, I could do that. And so the time bank is just a wonderful mechanism to help that happen.
And it sort of naturally weaves people together in a community versus, you know, a barter situation is pretty much between two people. But when you start involving a community in the network, it really starts having a ripple effect throughout the community.
So there you go. That's the start to today's show. Our guests, Kathy and Arthur from the Charlottesville Time Bank. You can find them at SeavilleTimeBank.com because this is, it's caught my interest. That's why we're here today. I'm here with my nephew, Ren Hinchy.
Hey guys, what's up?
And we'll be interviewing Kathy and Arthur throughout the hour. But one of the reasons that we're here today also is because it's Fun Drive Sunday here at WNRN. We do our spring. We do our fall Fun Drive. I'm lucky enough to have my nephew join me. Rand, how many shows have you done?
Eight or nine.
That's pretty cool. And your age now?
I'm 10.
10. So Ren has been, he's become a radio personality from about age 6 going forward.
Yay,
and it's, I know, pretty cool, huh? Not everybody gets to do that. But it's important for those of you who are just listening to Ren, the radio personality, to call us up. 434-979-0919. There's a handful of people out here answering the phones. It's important to the radio station. It's important to the community. And one of my goals for the day, I get 1 hour out of the 8 or 9 days of the Fun Drive. We're really looking to find new members. The support of the regular members, the regular listeners to WNRN, especially the folks who make a regular pledge to the Sunday morning wake-up call, it's crucial. It's difficult for me to say and express my true thanks for the folks who call in regularly and the names that I see every Fun Drive. But this time we're trying to find some new members as well. And we hope that you'll take the opportunity here on Sunday while we talk about the Charlottesville Time Bank with Kathy and Arthur. We hope you'll take the time to call up and tell WNRN how important and how thankful you are to have this radio station in your listening area. So please take a few moments and dial us up. 434-979-0919. So, Kathy, Arthur, Ren, you're talking about how the Charlottesville Time Bank important and is often promoted as your community building network. Arthur, you were talking about the multi-generational aspect of what the Charlottesville Time Bank does. Is that the only part of the community building network that comes from the Time Bank?
Oh, it spans the generations, absolutely. Part of the thing with maybe younger people and older people is we too often say what we can do for them, and we kind of almost make them an object without looking at the true worth, okay? You got on your young man sitting next to you for 4 years has been a radio personality. And mostly, I think, for young people and older ones, you know, we might say, well, what do they need? What can we give to them? And we start to look at what values and what contributions anybody can make. And I think that's where things really kind of kick in. So the Time Bank and the way it's set up here in town certainly is people look at what can I offer to other people? What can I do? For instance, I could do a will for you. I could give you a golf lesson. I could watch your dog. I could wash your windows, or I could do gardening, all of which I've done.
You've done all of those things for the Time Bank?
All of those for the Time Bank.
Wow.
Well, and the neat thing about these exchanges, you know, I've gotten to know people and tapped into a community of people who are givers and sharers and have an incredible depth of experience among them. So the larger the Time Bank network grows, the more we all have to draw from. And so the Time Bank is a mechanism to become affiliated with all those people that you may not know in your normal day-to-day life. And then when you do an exchange with someone, it's not like you go home and it's over. You now have the start of a relationship with that person. They start becoming becoming sort of your extended family, and it starts rippling throughout the community. It's very powerful.
What is the most common services that you offer?
Let's see.
Depends on the season. Like we have these garden.
Yeah. Right now, because it's springtime, people are really starting to get into spring cleaning and gardening, and they need some help with, you know, things around the house. So we currently have two groups that are forming to kind of do like a mob approach at somebody's house. So we're doing a yard mobs or garden clubs.
A mob. Explain that for a touch.
It's where a group of people kind of descend in one place to tackle a job. And have you ever seen the old, like an old barn raising, when people would get together and make a day or two of building this barn for a family? And a lot of ways you apply that concept to resurrecting a garden or tackling some kind of yard work for one person. And all of the people that are involved in that transaction bank hours, and then they can withdraw those hours getting something that they need.
Tell them about Seville Coffee.
Oh, the Seville Coffee joined as a business member last year. And one of the first things I did was ask Tuan, the owner, to tell us, what is it, what can we provide for you? Because he was providing meeting space for us and was supporting us. And I said, we need to give you something back. And he says, I have planters out in front that really need, they need some attention and I can't get to it, you know. So we had a meeting there, invited all of our gardening members to bring a couple of plant starts. It was about a year ago this spring. We cleaned out all the planter boxes, replanted them with this beautiful mosaic of flowers that are still growing today. So it's kind of a nice way to tackle jobs for both businesses and individual members. It's a whole lot more fun to clean house with a group of people and the music playing and everybody having a good time than just doing it by yourself.
Sitting around.
All right, 11:14 on the Wake Up Call, talking about the Charlottesville Time Bank with Kathy and Arthur, who are the co-directors. And my nephew Ren's here today, as he's been joining me on a handful of fun drives for the last few years.
Hey, guys.
All right, so it is, again, 11:14 on the wake-up call. This is the Fun Drive Sunday. It's important to the radio station that that we hear an expression of how important we are in your life because we provide radio, because we provide the Bluegrass guys who just finished up. Mark Smith is out there answering phones for me. I was here yesterday answering Mark Smith's phones from the Grateful Dead and Friends show. And today it's the Sunday morning wake-up call. Please call us up, 434-979-0919.
Support today for WNRN comes from
Price Hyundai on 29 North. From Hyundai, it's the new Sonata Hybrid, 38 miles per gallon highway, and breakthrough lithium polymer technology. Also, the 38 miles per gallon highway Elantra. You can find out more at jimpricehyundai.com.
ChocolatesByKelly.com. Handmade European-style chocolates in Richmond. Salted caramels, vodka cranberry cordials, and chocolate balsamic vinegar await at ChocolatesByKelly.com. Gluten and dairy-free options are available on Forest Hill Ave in Richmond and at ChocolatesByKelly.com. Ships discreetly for Lent.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Here we are back on Fun Drive Sunday with Ren.
Hey, guys.
And I'm Rick. We're co-hosting today's Fun Drive Sunday. Again, we're asking that folks give us a call, a little expression of your thanks to WNRN for being here 24/7, not just on Sundays for the wake-up call from 11 until 12, 434-979-0919. 1-800-273-0919. We are talking with Arthur and Kathy from the Charlottesville Time Bank about what they do and why they're important to the area as well. I try and take the fun drive Sundays and invite other nonprofit organizations onto the show to show what else happens here in the Charlottesville area. But one of the other things I like to do is play little bits from old shows, things that really caught my attention, and maybe they'll catch yours. You can always go back and find the podcast if you didn't hear it, or you can call up now because you found this to be really cool and you know that we'll do some cool things like this in the future. Let me do this. This show is from a program that we did back in November with Professor Murphy from UVA about extraterrestrial life. Would we be more likely to have contact through communication, radio waves, or through travel? Because what I heard you say earlier is that, maybe not here, maybe on the podcast that I heard earlier, is that the communication would be hard to find because of having your radio tuned to the right channel at the right time of day and the length of time it takes for the communication to travel through the universe. So which method do you think we're more likely to make contact?
Oh, I think the problem there is that for those that believe that we're not alone out there in the universe, both travel and communication are exceptionally difficult. So think about travel for a second. I mentioned that the nearest star is 4.4 light years away. Voyager 1, that most distant spacecraft we have out there, also happens to be one of our fastest spacecraft. And at the rate that Voyager 1 is traveling right now, it's going to take about 70,000 years to get to the nearest star. And that's just the nearest star. Now imagine that our grandchildren build a spacecraft that can go 10 times faster. It's still going to take 7,000 years to get out there. And imagine that their grandchildren build a spacecraft that can go 10 times faster than that. So that's 100 times faster than what we can do today. It's still going to take 700 years to get just to the nearest star. Right now, our fastest spacecraft travel at 1/10,000th the speed of light. If they could go 1,000 times faster, which is 10% the speed of light, it would still take 44 years to get to the nearest star. So space travel is exceptionally difficult because the distances are so vast. And even when you're traveling at a fraction of the speed of light, a good fraction, say 1 or 10% the speed of light, the travel times are decades or hundreds of years. That makes it very difficult to imagine getting on a spaceship. Imagine getting on a spaceship to travel to the nearest star, where at 1% the speed of light, it's 440 years in a single direction. When you get on that spaceship, you know that you're not going to arrive at your destination. You know that your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren won't make it on this trip, that you're going to have a ship that's large enough that can support these people for 440 years, and it's some distant descendant of yours that's actually going to make it to the nearby star. And I just can't see civilizations doing that. There is something that we do have to be very careful about in our everyday lives called confirmation bias, where we look at the evidence and we use the evidence to try and confirm those beliefs that we already have. I think UFOs are an excellent example of this. There are many people who believe in UFOs, and when they see something on the evening news, that will reinforce it. There are others who do not believe in UFOs, and they see that same news story on the evening news, and it reinforces their belief that they do not exist. And so we have to be really careful about the evidence and considering it carefully. So my own personal belief on UFOs, because it's probably the thing that most people think about when we think about extraterrestrial intelligence, is that there is, in this modern day and age, an amazing lack of evidence for us being visited by UFOs. The examples that I like to give is, most of your listeners, I'm carrying a camera with me right now. Most of your listeners are probably carrying a camera with them in their phones. And it's really quite remarkable that we don't have better pictures of UFOs. We have these pictures that were taken in the 1950s of these things that look like hubcaps hovering in trees and hovering over someone's house. We really haven't seen pictures of like that since the 1950s and 60s. Nowadays, it's mostly just blurry lights in the sky. And when we do get a picture of what appears to be an alien spacecraft, they almost always turn out to be hoaxes. What we really need, the true evidence comes along when we have not just one person photographing it, but we have dozens of people photographing it from many different points of view. I think the best example of this is what happened on February 15th of this year. There was a large meteor that entered over Chelyabinsk, Russia, and it was photographed by hundreds of people from many different points of view. It was witnessed by thousands of people. If something real happens in the sky, if some spaceship really comes to visit us, I would expect us to be able to get more than one blurry photograph of it from a single individual. It should be photographed by dozens of people.
Ren, we were hearing Professor Murphy talk from a November show about extraterrestrial life and traveling to another planet. Do you learn anything about that in school?
We don't learn about, like, aliens and stuff like that, but we learn about the planets. And last year I was in fourth grade. We learned a little bit about dwarf planets, and every once in a while, my teacher, Miss Lance, she would say, "Who believes in aliens?" And everybody would raise their hand. It was just really funny.
And you and your dad have a big telescope, right?
Yes, sir.
And you, how often do you look through that?
We've only looked through it once because we don't have enough time because, it's just a little too tight of a
schedule. Well, you're too busy as a fifth grader. I understand.
Yeah.
Again, we are talking my co-host today, Ren Hinchy. He's my nephew. And we just heard a piece from Professor Ed Murphy at UVA when we did our November show talking about extraterrestrial life. I found that fascinating. You can always go to SeavillePodcast.com. Or WNRN.com or WNRN.org and find previously recorded shows here at the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. We're talking about Seaville Time Bank today with Kathy and Arthur. They're the co-directors. We're asking people to call in. It's Fun Drive Sunday here for the spring show. 434-979-0919. We're always thankful for people to call. We want people to call and let us know how thankful you are that we're here and you enjoy the music, you enjoy the programs. And, you know, it makes us feel good, and hopefully it makes you feel good because that's what we do the rest of the time. If you've never made a financial contribution to WNRN, you might not know that it really only takes 2 or 3 minutes. That's about the length of time most of the songs on the radio station are. But your 2 minutes and your contribution go a long way toward keeping the station on the air. Now that you know it doesn't take so long, please make your first contribution. We'd love to have some new people. The folks who call regularly, I can't tell you how much I support you for that. But some new folks, we'd love to hear from you as well. It's 434-979-0919. And with a monthly donation of just $8 or more, you can pick up the new WNRN baseball hat as your thank you gift. It's available in khaki and blue and white. And this cap has the stitched orange WNRN logo on it. The cap's adjustable and one size fits all. So there's plenty of ways to say it. Pass the hat, pay the cover, buy a ticket, but our request is really the same. Pay for what you use. If you'd like to do that right now for WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, please call us, 434-979-0919, and someone's here to take your contribution. And the price, it's whatever you decide, $1 a week, $1 a day, you choose, just call us. Or go online, WNRN.org, right now. So thank you to everybody who's listening today, who make your pledge. Again, Ren and Rick co-hosting the spring fun drive here on WNRN and talking with Kathy and Arthur at the Charlottesville Time Bank. So to bring Kathy and Arthur back in the show, been talking about a lot of things, the most common service that people offer. But one of the things, one of the questions that Ren had, I thought this was really cool.
What is the most unique service a member offers?
The music.
Oh.
You know, no whispering over there. We can still hear that.
You know, it's funny because we, as regular Time Bank members, I am always kind of browsing through the offers and requests and just amazed at the creative, fun things that people will do. I just saw an offer listed the other day. And when things are posted on our member site, they're listed as either an offer or something that our members are willing to do, or they're listed as a request or something they need. So there's that reciprocity always throughout the time, throughout the software. But one thing I saw the other day, a member posted an offer to do a, oh gosh, the word is now going to escape me. She wanted to host like a game show for a special guest or a tribute, like a roast for if somebody was having an anniversary or a birthday party, that she would script it very carefully to ask questions, provide music, but to do something really special for somebody for a special occasion. And I thought, wow, that takes a lot of creativity and planning to do it. And I know so far that two members have taken her up on that offer. So that's just a really recent, unique, thing that I've seen. But we had one last year as well where a member was looking for someone to perform a piece of music her great-great-grandfather had composed that she'd never heard. She had the sheet music in front of her, but she wasn't a musician and she'd never heard it, performed. And so another Time Bank member who was a musician, played it for her. Not only played it, but then arranged it for a string trio, had a little performance of it. I videotaped it and recorded it to a DVD to send to her father, who had never heard it either, as a birthday present. So it was this wonderful way of kind of knitting together our interests and abilities to achieve a wonderful result.
All right. Now, that's pretty unique.
That's pretty unique.
I like that a lot. Again, we are... speaking with Kathy and Arthur from the Charlottesville Time Bank today on Fun Drive Sunday. My co-host, Ren Henschy.
Hello.
And we are taking pledges again, 434-979-0919. You can also go online to WNRN.org and make your pledge. This is the Sunday morning wake-up call. We'd love a little love and attention. If you want to pick us as the show you'd like to get some special attention to, like Brenda. My friend Brenda has called in. Brenda is a regular supporter. I think she has supported us during almost every pledge. So special love from Ren and Rick and Lazarus. To Brenda. I also want to thank Anne. Anne and Wayne made a pledge. Kathy, are you familiar with that name, Kathy Henschy Ren?
I've heard it before. But
yeah, I've heard it before too. So a little special love from Kathy Henschy. I think that Kathy and Henschy goes out probably with a little love towards co-host Ren Henschy today on the show. We also have a pledge from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your pledge to WNRN. And you know, do you know who Allison Moore is, Ren?
Oh yeah. I know who Allison is.
Allison Moore. Yeah, she's got a lot of dogs. She must be streaming because she lives out in she lives in Arizona.
Jeez.
Is that right? Or maybe New Mexico. You know, as someone who's still in school, you might be able to tell me if there's a difference. But you know, as you get older, Arizona, New Mexico, kind of all becomes one big thing. So again, 434-979-0919. You can go online, WNRN.org. Please, your pledge here to WNRN to the Sunday morning wake up call. My co-host today, Ren Henschy, talking with Kathy and Arthur from the Charlottesville Time Bank, 11:31 on the wake up call. Rind, I like this question that you had.
Can someone with advanced skills, like a doctor or electrician, trade with someone with more basic skills, like cutting grass, cutting hair, and are they equal?
Absolutely. This is one of the special things about the time bank concept, that my hour is worth your hour, or your hour is worth my hour. And you know that sometimes the head of companies might get $1,000 or $2,000 times more per hour pay than somebody else. So here it's just recognizing that, yes, I've had a lot of training and do a lot of special things, but in the end, you know, we put our pants on the same way. We only have this many hours, each of us in this amount of life, so that by my giving you an hour of my time and then I'm getting an hour of somebody else's time, that really makes you feel good and that we're all together and equal. And that's a great question.
And one of the core values of time banking is that a lot of work goes on undervalued or underpaid in the regular market economy. And in time banking, it gives equal value to all work. So it's sort of this great democratization of labor. And we frequently have people ask a question, well, I don't know that I want to trade my professionally trained service hours for gardening work or household work or whatever. And the answer to that is people only offer what they're willing to trade for time. So they may be willing to offer a few nuggets of their time to do professional services because they've got rent to pay and they've got to eat, you know, all those things. But it's an opportunity for everyone to share their skills with the community.
In fact, so real quick, you know, we've been doing all this talking with Kathy and Arthur from the Charlottesville Time Bank, SeavilleTimeBank.com. Can you go online? You can go online and read about what the Time Bank does, but I don't remember being able to find like a list of what is currently available out there,
right,
so that you can draw me in that way. Did I miss it?
You did not miss it. What we SeavilleTimeBank.com is our public website with information about time banks in general and how you can get involved. But in order to see the listing and have access to the software that lists all of those skills and all of the members that are out there in our community, you have to be a member and be granted access to the software. So you have to be authorized by one of the coordinators.
But what if I say that I want to be a member just so I can look at the site, and then, you know, once I can see at the site, I want to back away because, never mind, that didn't interest me.
Well, we can give you a kind of a sampling of some of the services that are generally offered. And on our website, under one of the tabs about the Seaville Time Bank, there is a kind of a general listing of services. But it's important to keep in mind that those services, the offers and requests, are constantly changing because our membership base is fluctuating, people's needs and ability to offer those things is constantly changing. So a snapshot that you look at on one particular day may not be true a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road.
One of the other things that that you mentioned as I asked you those questions is that you talked about only offering the things that interest you. And one of the notes that I did find on the website says that, you know, you should consider not offering the daily work you do. Instead, offer the things for which you have a passion or more dire interest.
Well, for instance, I offer golf lessons.
And what's your handicap? Because I saw Ren lean forward.
Is every
He's getting
time
ready
I
to ask you.
My handicap sometimes is every time I get on the golf course. But I played golf in high school and college and was pretty good at it and considered making that a career. I didn't. I love golf, and immodestly, I think I'm a really good golf teacher. And so it gives me joy to help somebody else get introduced to that joy that I have. And I think a lot of things that happen with people,
mm-hmm.
Teaching people how to bake special kind of things or
right, special
things like that.
Home skills or practicing French. You know, suppose you're not going to make your living as a French teacher or a translator, but you enjoy speaking and you want to involve in conversations regularly with someone who is interested in that. So those are ways that you can really kind of dive into your creative side or any other fun projects that you might want to pursue.
So Rand, if you were going to offer a service, what kind of mm-hmm. thing could you offer?
I play golf too, and I really like it, so I might, if I was really good, I would give golf lessons and be a golf teacher.
But what would you offer now while you work to improve your golf game? What are you good at now? You could offer how to be a radio co-host because you've gotten good at that over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But what else do you have? What do you do regularly? What do you do that you really like, Ren?
I have an interest in medical things. And I think I'm really smart in medical because I watch all these shows. And they're like, oh, and I say, oh, no, it's the brain, not the heart. And
so you could give lessons on surgery. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. All right.
I like that.
Not sure how many takers there might be, but it would be an interesting concept.
Which leads to one of the other questions that Ren and I had on here. I can't find it specifically, but, here you go. No. Okay, here we go. Ren, read your number 9 question there.
Why does someone check to make sure all the members are safe? I'm basically letting a stranger into my house. And how is he trustworthy?
That is an excellent question. And one of the things that we use as a founding principle in our time bank is that it is a circle of trust, a community of trust. And that's one of the reasons that we don't just allow anybody to trade on the time bank software. We ask people to come to an orientation first because we want them to understand how important that is to safeguard other members' privacy and to respect other people in wherever they're at. We don't do any criminal background checks. There are time banks sometimes that do as part of their regular.
How about checks on whether or not they're, you know, their skills match what they're offering.
Yeah.
Such as Ren here is saying that he could offer time hours on surgery.
To do surgery,
right. And have someone check to make sure he's actually qualified to do that.
Well, one of the other things that we cover in orientation is to be sure that people understand that the time bank has not vetted people's skills or abilities. If you're posting an offer on your profile with the member software, we would encourage you to list a couple of references. If you have licenses or endorsements from organizations, or if you're insured, if you have experience, or if you say you're a photographer and you're offering your photography, you could show people examples of your work. And people are always free to say no if they doubt that you could do the job that they're asking. But we have not... We don't check licenses. That's between members to do that, between themselves.
You know, I'd like to go back to Rand's thing about playing golf. I think one of the real interesting and wonderful things about this is it helps build relationships and communities. So, hey, you like to play golf? Why don't we meet somewhere and we'll do a round? And that could lead to, you know, something kind of outside the mere exchange of time and energy. I've had that on a number of occasions. Somebody watched my dog and I got to know them. And all of a sudden I'm involved with them and we're planning a community in town or those kind of things. So that it's not just the exchange, it's people meeting and really getting to enjoy each other. And we're both interested in that. Maybe we can take off with that one. So, that's a real nice thing to get involved
with.
It's
very important.
And it happens.
It happens all the time.
All right, here we are on WNRN. It's our weekly or the week fun drive, the spring fun drive for the week in March and April. Our guest today from the Charlottesville Time Bank and my co-host, my nephew, Ren.
Hello.
So, again, we're getting some fun drives, both by phone and online. So a thanks to Russell and to Irene. Ren, I don't know if you know this, but Irene has pledged in the past. And do you know why she is specifically drawn to the Sunday morning wake-up call?
Irene sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's because she used to live in Pocosin. So she's a Bull Islander like you and me.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, there we go. So thank you, Irene. Irene has pledged several times in the past, many times in the past. And as with all the other pledges, we're so thankful to hear from you. 434-979-0919. We'd like to hear from some folks who have never pledged before, for some new members. We'd love the regular folks. We'd like to get some new members. Call us up. Go online, WNRN.org. Now listen to this.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
Sedona Tap House, hosting a craft beer seminar and tasting every Sunday at 1 p.m. Serious Food, and over 500 craft beers with 50 on tap. Discover your new favorite today at 1035 Millmont Street, Charlottesville, 434-296-BEER or SedonaTapHouse.com. You can also find Sedona Tap House in Westchester Commons, Midlothian.
The Modlin Center for the Arts at the University of Richmond, presenting an evening with Leo Kottke and Loudon Wainwright III on Saturday, April 5th at 7:30 in Camp Concert Hall. Details at modlin.richmond.edu. or by phone at 804-289-8980. An evening with Leo Kottke and Loudon Wainwright III, Saturday, April 5th at the Modlin Center.
Hi, I'm Jesse Bacherman from Pochum, People and Congregations Engaged in Ministry. The Albemarle Charlottesville Regional Jail will be hosting and sponsoring their fifth annual benefit golf tournament on Thursday, May 22nd at Lake Monticello Golf Course. The four-person team Captain's Choice Shotgun Start begins at 1 that afternoon. The registration fee includes green fee, cart, range balls, drinks, snacks, a cookout, prizes, and gifts. They're seeking anyone interested in playing in the tournament, sponsorships, and or making donations. A portion of the proceeds will go to Pochum. For more information, you can contact Major Adam Rodriguez, RodriguezA@acrj.org. I'm Jesse Bacherman, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection@WNRN.org. With your nonprofit event or organization's information, Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you, everybody. This is Fun Drive Sunday for the springtime here on WNRN. Our guest today, Kathy, is here from Charlottesville Time Bank, and Arthur's here with us. And then my co-host.
This is Ren Hinchy.
Thank you so much. Ren has a drive up here, but he does it twice a year to come join me here at WNRN. And so I think that shows how important WNRN is for my nephew. WNRN adds music and wake up call every week. You know, we make these decisions in-house about what songs to play, and we do that based on what you know and like. So make the contribution right now. I pick the shows here based on what I read in the paper, based on what people contact me and telling me what's important and what has interested them. So, you know, please call up, make your contribution right now for another year. You can become an Evergreen member. You can place your pledge and divide it by 6 months or 12 months. So pick up the phone, 434-979-0919. You can go online at WNRN.org and make your pledge right now. You know, when you support WNRN, you can do so with a $10 monthly gift. That's it, $10 monthly gift. You can pick up the In Studio at WNRN Volume 1. It's a 17-track collection of songs, pretty cool, that we recorded here in the studios with folks like Alabama Shakes and The Head and the Heart, Shovels and Rope, and the Cowboy Junkies. I really like that one. This unique collection is only available to the WNRN members and cannot be found in stores. So you've heard the old saying that it could be easier, couldn't be easier a million times, but in the case of contributing to WNRN, it's true. Just pick up the phone and punch in 434-979-0919 or go to the website WNRN.org, and in just 2 or 3 minutes, you get that contribution done and checked off your list. So call us up, please, 434-979-0919 right now. Go to the website, WNRN.org, and no matter how you do it, you'll be supporting us here at WNRN. Again, today, talking with folks from the Seville Time Bank about what they do and why that's important to our community. Ren has joined me multiple times now. We've talked with folks from the Charlottesville Albemarle Emergency Management Office. Who else?
Meals on Wheels.
Meals on Wheels, Charlottesville Albemarle Rescue Squad, Habitat for Humanity. You're patching your earphone. The earphone people? What are you talking? Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic. Hey, we should play some game together. but, you know, one of my favorite shows from the past year was with Professor Paul Cantor, and we talked about pop culture. So check this out. Professor, we were talking about how a Western-style show takes us to Star Trek, where in Star Trek, the hero of Captain Kirk sort of represents the hero in the Westerns, where you shoot up the bad guys to protect the weak people.
Exactly. And the interesting thing is, well, his name was James Tiberius Kirk, and that has a certain ring like John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And my argument in that chapter is that the new frontier that John Kennedy spoke of was related back to the old frontier of the American West and forward to the final frontier of Star Trek. And that you really see how important the frontier has been in American history and in the presentation of the American spirit. And so there was a kind of cowboy aspect to Kennedy's public image. And also you have the fact that the Star Trek was a kind of Cold War show. The most amazing thing about Star Trek to me was the Prime Directive. Supposedly the Prime Directive was the United Federation of Planets would never intervene in the affairs of another civilization. And yet, episode after episode, that's what the Starship Enterprise did. Come in and take apart whatever regime was in place on a planet they encountered. And that struck me as very parallel to American foreign policy during the Cold War, during the 1960s in particular, that America was going to become the policeman of the world and spread democracy around the world. And wherever it encountered anti-democratic forces, it was going to go and fight against them. And that's very much the spirit of Paladin in Half Gun Will Travel and the spirit of Captain Kirk in Star Trek. Right-thinking people from Hollywood, from California, could go out and clean things up. And then I saw this was just the pattern of Star Trek, except instead of the small towns, it had other planets. And that Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock would go around the universe, and any time they found a planet that didn't look like 1960s America, they'd remake it, especially if it had something like a theocracy, if it had people who believed in a god, or if it had some kind of race ruling another race. Then the Americans had to clean it up.
Talking with Professor Paul Cantor here in the studio. Professor Cantor, we're talking about the Martian, the alien-style movies, but one of the things I read that you had recently done sort of talks about zombies and the current zombie phase that we seem to be going through in our pop culture. And you say that this is more of a paraphrase, the world of zombies signifies the new American dream.
By that is that as horrible as the zombie situation is in the show The Walking Dead, which is mainly what I talk about, it restores people to a situation of self-reliance. What the essay you're referring to talks about is the fact that again and again in our pop culture now, we're seeing apocalyptic scenarios, end-of-the-world scenarios. And again, they're horrible. Again, maybe an alien invasion. It may be the loss of all the electricity in the world in revolution, or it may be the outbreak of a zombie plague. And again, I don't want to minimize how destructive these situations are, but there's a kind of fantasy at work at them in these, in that what these catastrophes produce is chiefly and foremost a dissolution of the federal government. and all the institutions that run our lives today. And it shows people forced to go back to their own resources, and they, I won't say thrive, because again, the conditions are usually horrific, but they do develop a sense, a new sense of self-worth. It's really surprising, again, a show like Falling Skies with its alien invasion, or The Walking Dead, you see people deny the institutions they've been relying on, and so they fall back on homeschooling. They fall back on home health care. And these shows seem to suggest that that makes people come alive. It makes their lives more meaningful and exciting. And it shows Falling Skies is very interesting because the hero is a history professor, and it keeps referring back to the American Revolution.
And there you go. A conversation that I had with Professor Paul Cantor several months ago. So one of the old shows, again, you can always go to sevopodcast.com and look at some of the old shows. Call us up today, though, in the present, 434-979-0919, and we'd love to hear from you now. Some of the future shows we have coming up in April, we'll be talking about the muzzles. Those are the awards that are given for organizations and people who don't do a very good job of their following the laws of free expression. And we'll have some women on from the Shelter for Help in Emergency to discuss the unfortunate importance of what they do. Again, a few minutes left with my guests, Kathy and Arthur, and my co-host today.
Hey, guys.
Ren Hinchy, he's my nephew. So, Ren, we found an important question there. There you go. Ask that.
I read that before you become a member, you have to attend an orientation session. What do I learn at that orientation?
There's also some of those sessions coming up, I think, right?
Yeah, we have a couple of sessions coming up this week. And one of the things, as you mentioned before, you have a little bit of concern about meeting strangers or inviting people that you don't know into your home. One of the ways that we help reassure members is to say that we don't authorize access to the software until new members have been to an orientation, because we want everybody to be kind of on the same level coming into the time bank with the same expectation and understanding of what it is. So when they come to an orientation, they learn a little bit about the time bank. They learn things about how the software works and how the concept works in general. We also want them to understand and appreciate members' privacy, members are due respect, kind of how to conduct themselves through transactions, and sort of the etiquette of how those transactions should happen. They can, once they complete an orientation and sign an agreement with us, which is pretty straightforward, but we want them to understand that those things are very important to not just the coordinators, they're important to all of our members. We can authorize their account on the spot and get them signed up and get them started.
And don't you have specific dates?
Yes. This week we have on Wednesday, April 2nd, and Thursday, April 3rd, at 6 p.m. at the Downtown Library in Charlottesville, the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. We'll have a couple of orientation sessions. We invite anyone who would like to come and learn more about it, sign up, get started. We'd love to see you then. We also have one on Wednesday, April 9th at 5 o'clock in the Commons area at Main Street Market. And if for some reason those dates don't work for you right now, we continually add orientation schedules, meetings to our schedule online and our website.
In the interest of full disclosure, I should say there is a charge to join. It's a real big $2 a month. if you can't afford it, we give scholarships.
So that's $2 a month for the time bank, which works perfectly for $8 a month to WNRN. And so that allows for a CD of your choice or a T-shirt. Here.
Nice.
So see how that goes so well together. 434-979-0919. or WNRN.org. I love how that works together. We didn't even make that decision as a team.
What a lovely segue, yes.
So our goal here at WNRN, just a few minutes left with Kathy and Arthur, is for 2,000 new members during this time period. 2,000 new members. I think we've gotten one or two here during our hour. My goal was three new members, along with the folks who regularly support this show and this station. So we'd love to have one more new member call up. Please ring us up at 434-979-0919. Kathy or Arthur, how many members does the Time Bank have, and what are your goals?
We right now are around 175, 180 members. Certainly, the entire organization becomes richer when we have the more members that we have to draw from and to participate. And we'd love to see us top 200 members before the end of April. You know, I have a question for Ren, if that's okay.
Fire away.
Well, one of the things that we discovered in this enterprise is that it's kind of hard for people to ask for help. Do you find it hard to ask for help with things that you need?
If I know somebody, it doesn't bother me at all.
Good.
But if I walk up to a stranger mm-hmm. and I say, hey, can you help me do this?
You never know what you're gonna.
Yeah, you don't know if they're
Well, that goes back to the safety question you had mm-hmm, earlier, and mm-hmm. then the question about whether or not that person was actually talented at the question at the thing that you needed help for. So there you go. That's a great question for you.
Is there an age limit? Can somebody be like my age?
Like 10 years old, do you uh-huh. think? Well, we allow families to join with their children as part of their family membership. We feel it's real important. Sometimes young people don't have a real appreciation for how much can get spread online and how kind of difficult sometimes that is. So we do ask for an adult to co-sign with you, but we do have a couple of teenagers that are working on some projects and earning time dollars. And one of them is getting guitar lessons in exchange for it. So it's a good introduction for folks, but we do require an adult sign on.
And if you're over 150, you got to get special permission.
All right. So Kathy and Arthur, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us. A pleasure.
We enjoyed it.
We appreciate you coming in and spending time here at WNRN.
Rand and I are going to have a golf date, so that's cool.
There you go. I want to find out who's actually giving the lesson to whom.
We'll let you know.
All right. So Les Hemsperdue up next. So they also need you to dial up or go online. So it doesn't matter whether it's the Wake Up Call or another program. It's 434-979-0919, WNRN.org. So thanks so much. Next week you'll have the 30-minute throwdown back up. I'll sleep late and take Lazarus out for a long walk. Everyone have a great day.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong
and Max Cecilia Struther.
Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.